chapter 13, text number 25. तस्यापि तव देहोयम् कृपणस्य जिजीविषोः परैत्यनिच्छतो जीर्ण जरया वाससि इव तस्यापि तव देहोयम् कृपणस्य जिजीविषोः परैत्यनिच्छतो जीर्णो जरया वाससि इव तस्यापि तव देहोऽयम् कृपणस्य जिजीविषोः परैत्यनिच्छतो जीर्ण जरया वाससि इव तस्य ऑफ दिस अपि इन स्पाइट ऑफ तव युवर देहः बॉडी अयम दिस कृपणस्य ऑफ वन हु इज माइजरली जिजीविषो ऑफ यू हु डिजायर लाइफ परैति विल ड्विंडल अनिच्छतः इवन अनविलिंग जीर्णः डिटोरिएटेड जरया ओल्ड वाससि गार्मेंट्स इव लाइक ट्रांसलेशन पर्पस बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद शील प्रभुपाद की डिस्पाइट युअर अनविलिंगनेस टू डाई एंड युअर डिजायर टू लिव इवन एट द कॉस्ट ऑफ ऑनर एंड प्रेस्टीज युअर माइजरली बॉडी विल सर्टनली ड्विंडल एंड डिटोरिएट लाइक एन ओल्ड गार्मेंट पर्पट द वर्ड्स कृपणस्य जिजीविषोहो आर सिग्निफिकेंट There are two classes of men. One is called the Kripana and the other is called the Brahmana. The Kripana or the miserly man has no estimation of his material body. But the Brahmana has a true estimation of himself and the material body. The Kripana, having a wrong estimation of his material body, wants to enjoy sense gratification with his utmost strength. And even in old age, He wants to become a young man by medical treatment or otherwise. Dhritarashtra is addressed herein as a Kripana because without any estimation of his material body, he wants to live at any cost. Vidura is trying to open his eyes to see that he cannot live more than his term and that he must prepare for death. Since death is inevitable, Why should he accept such a humiliating position for living? It is better to take the right path, even at the risk of death. Human life is meant for finishing all kinds of miseries of material existence. And life should be so regulated that one can achieve the desired goal. Dhritarashtra, due to his wrong conception of life, had already spoiled 80% of his achieved energy. So it behooved him to utilize the remaining days of his miserly life for the ultimate good. Such a life is called miserly because one cannot properly utilize the assets of the human form of life. Only by good luck does such a miserly man meet a self-realized soul like Vidura and by his instruction gets rid of the nescience. Of material existence. Despite your unwillingness to die and your desire to live, even at the cost of honor and prestige, your miserly body will certainly dwindle and deteriorate like an old garment. Here Vidura is continuing to preach to Dhritarashtra. and by his very powerful preaching, he is arousing detachment in the heart of Dhritarashtra. So here Prabhupada is highlighting on the word Kripana, Kripana and Brahmana. Lord Krishna also uses the word Kripana in Bhagavad Gita. Kripana Falahetavaha. He says, Buddhav Sharanamanvicha, Kripana Falahetavaha. Falahetava means the Kripanas are always attached to the fruits of their own action and they want to enjoy them. One gentleman was asking Prabhupada, Swamiji, why Krishna says, do your duty but don't anticipate the result? Is it ever possible? In any work we do, we anticipate the result immediately. Just like you are working for a company, the company at the end of the month gives you a paycheck. And naturally you look forward for getting the check, he said. Then why Lord says don't anticipate the result? And Prabhupada says, just look at these American boys and girls. They can accept many checks and they can also pay many checks to many people. But they don't have any check business. They want to just work for serving Krishna and please Krishna without anticipating any result. They don't want anything from Krishna in return. They just want to love him and serve him. And Prabhupada said, this is what Lord Krishna is saying. So naturally the guest became a little bewildered. He asked Prabhupada, which means Swamiji, you say that no one should do any work in this world? No one should do any job? And Prabhupada said, no, no, that's not what I mean. He said, you have to work and you will get the result. And what do you want to do with that result is the question. If you want to use it for your own sense enjoyment, you are a Kripana, he said. And then if you want to use the result for Krishna's enjoyment, you are a Brahmana. So, very clear-cut difference is explained. A Kripana, that literal meaning of the word Kripana is, one is a miser. Sometimes a very wealthy man does not even eat proper food. He doesn't eat proper food. Sometimes he puts a wet cloth around his stomach so that he can eat very little and save more money. Although he has a lot of money. Neither does he use money for his enjoyment, nor does he give the money in charity. So just like, once a dog got a nariyal, a very big coconut. The dog didn't know how to open it. Somebody told him, one farmer told him, bring the nariyal here, I will open it and give you. But the dog didn't allow anyone to come near. So it's a very famous flower in Tamil. It is called Nai Petra Thengambadam, we call it in Tamil. It's a dog obtained a big nariyal. And neither did he eat it for his enjoyment, nor did he give it to others also. In this way, all the time he kept rotating it. He couldn't do anything with it. Similarly, there are many Kripanas in this world who, by dint of their piety in the past or whatever, they have amassed a lot of wealth from their fathers, from their lineage. They have abundant wealth. Now, they don't know how to spend this wealth fruitfully to really lead a happy life themselves also. With that wealth, they misuse that wealth and assets by torturing their own bodies. And they also don't give that wealth in charity to others for some good work. Ultimately, the very same wealth becomes a big burden for them. So, Kripanas are sense enjoyers. Actually, the word Kripana is used in different contexts, but the precise meaning is a Kripana is a miser who does not know the right utility of the things awarded to him. Like, the example is given of how if somebody is given a Mercedes, he is using it for ploughing the field. That's not the right use of a Mercedes. Similarly, the human form of life, it is awarded for a very specific purpose of self-realization. And the human body has special facilities for self-realization, especially the spiritual acumen that is there in a human being. So the Brahmana is very wise, as Prabhupada explains here. The Brahmana is one, Brahmana itself means Brahma Janati iti Brahmana. He knows the difference between body and soul. You know? And having known that, a Brahmana very carefully utilizes the human form of life, every moment of human life, as a advantage to realize the self and realize Krishna and serve Krishna in that direction. So there are clearly two different directions people take. One is, a Brahmana clearly sees that the body is an instrument given to me. My body, my mind, my intelligence, my wealth, my resources, everything is an instrument given to me. And how I utilize it very carefully for my self-realization is very watchful, very mindful of that. And he does not squander the wealth. He does not waste his time. He does not waste his human body that is awarded to him. And he uses it for achieving Krishna. And the Kripana is one. Either he is miserly in using the body, or he uses the body in the wrong direction. He uses the body for only for the purpose of enjoying sense gratification. Only for his own enjoyment. So, Arjuna uses the word Kripana, Karpanya Dosho, he says. Why? He says, my dear Krishna, it's not that I am afraid of fighting. I can fight. I have the Gandiva. I have the talent. And I have already fought many wars. I have conquered many people in the past. But right now, although I have the ability, I am not utilizing it. That is why I am a Kripana. That is why I am a Kripana. Like somebody has the wealth, but he does not spend the wealth for the right purpose. So he becomes a Kripana. Or somebody has the strength. He does not... Like imagine if somebody has a very healthy body, but he doesn't do any hard work. He doesn't do service. So then he becomes a Kripana. Miser means one who does not utilize. So the miserly people are so materially oriented that they cannot foresee that they are going to face failure. Parabhavastavada bodha jato. Abodha jato. Jatas. Yavanna jigyasata atmatattvam. Bhagavatam says, parabhavastavada bodha jato. Abodha jato. They do not know that they will face defeat in future. They cannot predict it. They are so determined to work for their material life. Like a typical Kripana is one who rises early in the morning and decorates the rotting carcass of this material body by various types of cosmetics, various types of dresses and coatings and shootings and tie and all kinds of powder and cosmetics and everything to make this dying body look very wonderful. And then all day he works hard for making more and more money. There are many sections of Bhagavatam where there is a description about how the Kripanas are spending their life. One section of Bhagavatam which explains this is Prahlad Maharaj talking to his demoniac friends. That section you can read, you will understand. Prahlad is so intelligently describing how the Kripanas work. He says such a person is very attentive to every farthing of money that he counts. One note he will not miss. Very carefully he will count the money. And he will preserve it in locks. He will put it in the right banks. And they will also be very attentive to please those people who gratify their senses. Like one may want to please wife and children because they give enjoyment to me. One may want to please the caste people or the society people because they give me enjoyment. They are very attentive to please only those who will in turn give them gratification. Like that. And they will be very attentive to protect their assets. And they will be very alert to their enemies. Who is my enemy? Who can do what to me? They are very political minded. And they are very attentive to their enemies and try to pull down their enemies. They earn money by many foul means, not by fair means. And they do not know. They may claim that I am earning money by foul means only for the welfare of my family members. But they do not know their family members will remain behind and they will only alone go to hell to be punished for earning money in those foul ways. And Prahlad goes on adding many things. they are very firmly attached to their own family, of their koti, their house. They are attached to their furniture, they are attached to their family members and the relatives and all kinds of hundreds of relatives. They are attached to them and they have no time for God. They will be very attentive to go for all social functions. My uncles, aunts, sisters, brothers, sons, daughters, families, their marriage is going to go on. Even distant relatives' marriages, they will be very attentive to all social functions. They will be attentive to go to those places where they will be honored, respected. There will be people of similar prestige and status who will come. And they will spend the time in all such things. And he says the core of their heart is filled with the pictures of their materialistic relatives, who also contribute to their material enjoyment, material life. So Prahlad says, in such a situation, a person becomes like a silkworm who is entrapped in a cocoon. In a cocoon, when there is a worm in a cocoon, he is trapped. Like that, these people become trapped. The worm emits some kind of viscous liquid from his own mouth, and that only becomes a cocoon around him. Similarly, this person's hard work itself binds him. The very same person's hard work, that also becomes a rope to bind him. It just entangles him. And he says such people's target is sense gratification. That is their ultimate goal. And completely submerged in their material work, in their business work, in their official work, in their family work. In this way, people become drowned in the material identities, Prahlad explains. And he tells his friends, my dear friends, do not get entangled like this. This is not the purpose of human form of life. The human form of life, he says, is given only for one purpose, for practicing Bhagavata Dharma. The hand, body, legs, the all the limbs of the body that is awarded are just fit for executing devotional service. And he says, Vishnu, Lord Vishnu can be pleased very easily. Prinanaya Mukundasya. He says, Lord Vishnu is so easy to please. He says, just offer me some patram pushpam phalam toyam. And I will become very pleased. But he says, the relatives and family and friends, they can never be satisfied. No matter how much you work hard for them, they can never be pleased in this world. Their demands will always keep increasing more and more and more. And this is an experience. You can ask a husband, wife and parents and children. Who tells the dependents or the subordinates that I am very pleased with you. Now we can turn to God. Do you think ever any father or mother will tell their child, my dear son, you have satisfied us completely. Now you simply devote your life for Krishna. Have you ever seen? Or a husband or a wife, will they ever say that now you have completely pleased me, satisfied me? In this world, you will never find anyone saying, I am satisfied. They will always have expectations which are never to be fulfilled. They will always say, you have not done this, you have not done that, even after doing. So Prahlad Maharaj says, this is the story of this material world. You can never, you work hard, as it is said. Shita atapa vatavarishana yadina yamini jagire. Vifale sevino krupana durjana chapala sukhalava lagire. He's saying, once Prabhupada was in London, he was telling, just see here in London, all of you complain that there is snow here. It is so chill, it is so cold. And early morning you find in the snow of the, all over there is snow, fog. Even the darkness of the fog, people are dressing up and rushing to their offices, working hard. And Papa said, you may be thinking that in India people are more happy. But you go to India and see, he's saying some, 120 or 125 degree Fahrenheit. Papa saying, they see the temperature in India, it is so hot. And Indians are thinking, London people are happy. Papa saying, just see how nice the temperature is there. They think they may be happy and you guys think Indians are happy. In this way, everyone thinks they are happy, but no one understands that there is no happiness in the material world. They don't know that material world is not a happy place. This is a Krupana, Prabhupada said. One works very hard, day and night. So it is said, vifale sevino. Vifale means for no good of mine, I am serving these false masters. Kripana durajana. They are durjan. They are not sajjan. They are durjan. Why they are durjan? They are doing all kinds of foul practices to make and multiply money for their own sense gratification, for their own enjoyment. And I am serving such masters. Just like Rupa Sanatan lamented that we served Nawab Hussain Shah, who is a sense gratifier, you know, cow flesh eater, all kinds of person indulging in atrocities, torturing the people. So serving such a master is also a great sin. So in this song he is saying, Vifale Sevino, Kripana Durajana, Chapala Sukalabala Agiri. Just for getting some paltry amount of happiness in my life, I am serving such bogus masters. Instead of serving a Mahajan, Mahajanas like Swayambhu, Narada, Shambhu, Kumara, Kapila, Manu, Prahlada, Janako, Bhishma, Bailar, Vyasakir, Yamraj, and all of them. Or those who are following the Mahajanas, like the great Acharyas in the land, faithfully hearing their instructions and following it in our lives. Instead of that, I have served uselessly the material masters, who simply for their own enjoyment, they have engaged me in day and night hard work, he says. So Prahlad says, people don't mind working very hard. Like, you know, some years ago we had gone to Shimla for a trip with Sukadeva Maharaj. And so there Sukadeva Maharaj was telling, just see, 6,000 feet above the mean sea level, these people have got such a cushion, such air condition, such a fridge, such fans, and such cots, such a foam beds and everything. He said, how they have got it? Because they are kripanas. He said, the kripanas, it's not that kripanas don't work. They work very hard, but in the wrong direction. For their sense gratification, they will do any amount of hard work. He said, just see, to transport all these things through the truck, which has to climb up the hill, to bring all these items there. And they have, little by little they have brought. Just like sometimes you see the ants, they go to one place and they pick up the sugar cube and they carry a long distance and store it in their, small hole in the ground, so that they can enjoy in the another season when there is no possibility of coming out of the hole. They keep saving. Similarly, the kripanas also, they work very hard for their material life. They are very famous for working hard. The only thing is they work for their own sense gratification. That is why Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that was, Yanisha Sarva Bhutana Tasyam Jagarti Samyami Tasyam Jagarti Bhutani Sanisha Apashyatomune. He says that there are two classes of people. One is a transcendentalist, introspective sage. Another one is a materialist. The materialist, what is day for them is night for the sage. Materialistic activities are such that devotees don't delight in such activities. Devotees don't find any enjoyment in them. They find that such kind of material activities, they dry up the heart, and they make one forget the activity of the soul. Our relationship with Krishna, our surrender to Krishna. So materialists are completely oblivious to spiritual life, and devotees are averse to material life. They try to withdraw themselves from material life. And you can ask, there are many people, grihasthas who work for companies, they hanker for the yatras. When will the yatra come? When we can completely take off from the materialistic life and we can just go for yatra 20 days, 15 days and absorb in hearing and chanting about Krishna, in remembrance of Krishna. People actually hanker for that, even those who have to do their basic duties. So, of course, earning for one's livelihood is never condemned in the scriptures. But becoming enthusiastic in material life, delighting in material life, expanding material life, making plans to expand and increase material life for oneself and one's dependents, such a person is a kripana. Like Prahlad says, Matir na krishne parato svatova mito vipadyeta grahavratana. Such a person is called as a grahavrata. He is a determined thief who delights in material life. Actually, a devotee delights in spiritual life and does material life as a duty and does material life as a duty which has to be done for the sake of livelihood. But Kripana is one who delights in material life. He enjoys in material life. And one of the conversations, Pushtakrishna Swami was asking Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya says that Prithivite Achyade Nagaradigram Sarvata Prachara Hobimoranam. It's in every town and village, my name will be spread, Lord Chaitanya says. What does it actually mean? Does it mean that one center will be established in each village? One ISKCON center? Or does it mean that devotees will go to a particular village and tick mark? Now we have visited this village and go to the next village, tick mark. And they'll go from place to place. And thus we will cover the entire, all the villages of the world. And then Prabhupada said, and then Prishna Swami asked, what should we do? Should we establish centers or should we travel and preach? And then Prabhupada said, yeah, traveling is very important, Prabhupada said. And in that way, while traveling, if some people become interested, we can also establish centers in different places. But traveling preaching is very important, Prabhupada says. And then he said, why only go village to village? You must go door to door, Prabhupada said. You must go home to home, door to door, and call the people and wake them up. And make them chant Hare Krishna. Give them our books. Give them this knowledge. This is the duty of a devotee. And Prabhupada is quoting that verse, famous verse. Prayena deva munayasva vimukti kaman maunam charanti vijanena parartha nishtha naitan kripaya naitan, what is that? Naitan vihaya kripanan vimamoksha eko nanyam tvadasya sharanam brahmatonu pashye. Prabhupada quoted this and said, just see, this is Prahlad. A devotee is very compassionate to the miserly people. People who are conjures. Why they are conjures? They have a human body. But what are they doing with the human body? They are busy with their material life. So devotee should go door to door, wake them up. If you open the door, you will find they will be watching TV. In every home, you will find. And they will be watching TV, crunching some crackjack biscuits or some potato chips, reading the newspaper, making plans for their material life, how to send our children to America and make more money. This is material life. They have no other business. They don't know what this world is, what Krishna is, what is the goal of life. They don't know. So he said, you have to go door to door, distribute our books. At least, if some people whom you wake up, they take to Krishna consciousness, you have succeeded. And Prabhupada said, a devotee never gets tired, even if he faces defeat in approaching many, many materialistic people. He said, my guru, Prabhupada said, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he would derive so much delight if a disciple would sell even one patrika and come back. He would be so happy. And following my guru in the same spirit, I also find great delight when I see my disciples distributing some books. And we are able to see that we are very successful in this. That we are printing millions of books and we are distributing. So a Vaishnava should derive great joy to see that materialists are also taking interest in reading the message of the Lord and trying to get awakened. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings in that song. Mishe nida vashe gelo re rati divasa sharira saaje. He's saying, these materialistic people, in the night they spend all the night in deep sleep. And in the daytime they decorate their dead bodies, he's saying. What are they doing in the daytime? They're decorating their rotting body. The body is going on dwindling and decaying, but they are decorating this body. They say, divasa sharira saje. Sharira saje means they are decorating their body in the daytime. In this way, day and night they while away. What a colossal waste. He is lamenting there. So a devotee laments. When a devotee sees that the materialists are wasting their valuable human life, he feels pity. He feels compassion. He can perceive their suffering. And the devotee tries to come with ingenious ways, newer and newer ways to somehow get the materialists away from their absorption in matter and to hook them to Krishna. That is the goal of a spiritualist. Brahmanas. Here, also you find Vidura strongly preaching to Dhritarashtra. And what is Vidura's goal? A singular goal to wake up Dhritarashtra. Like the other day, Kaunteya was making a brilliant point, which Prabhupada also makes elsewhere. When a materialist is a sort of intoxicated, when a person is drunk or intoxicated, you have to give him a slap. Give him a strong slap, then he wakes up. Hey, who is beating me? He wakes up. And then when he wakes up from that slumber, then you can give him some knowledge. Sometimes you go in the train to distribute books. And people say, they look at you and they say, devotee. They bow down immediately and they are absorbed in their own thing, not interested. So when Prabhupada also went to preach, many people would say that, not interested. And what Prabhupada would do, Prabhupada would present an argument to them, to wake them up from their slumber. And then Prabhupada would say, just look at you, scientists, all fools and rascals. And immediately they would go, what did you say? So fools and scientists, fools and rascals. Why do you say they are fools and rascals? How can you say that? And then Prabhupada would pull them into an argument. And then after pulling them into argument, and they will argue, Prabhupada would argue back and forth, it would go, and then fellow will become a devotee. At the end. Prabhupada would do that. So there was one Randy, one young boy. So this boy, he was in Los Angeles. He was son of a millionaire. He's from San Diego, no? But he was son of a very, very big millionaire. And he was a football champion also. So one day he saw this Harinam Sankirtan party going on in the street, and he also joined them. He didn't know who they were, but he liked them dancing. So he also joined in dancing. And devotees immediately noted his address, phone number, everything, as any devotee in any part of the world would do. So, and they had called him. So some devotee was following him up. So one devotee called him when Prabhupada was there in his upstairs quarters. So would you like to meet Swamiji? Prabhupada can give you some time. And Randy didn't mind. He thought it's a good idea. So he went upstairs. So when he went upstairs, he found he was the only stranger there, only guest. And Prabhupada was surrounded by some GBCs and sannyasis, sitting together and discussing with them in some meeting. And this Randy went in front of Prabhupada, and devotees told him, bow down, he bowed down. And then he sat. And Prabhupada looked at him, and Prabhupada had heard about him from the devotees. And Prabhupada asked him the first question, why be a Kripana? Prabhupada asked him. Then he wondered, what is this word Kripana? He has never heard this word before. And then Prabhupada understood that he is not understanding me. Then Prabhupada explained, Kripana means miser. Prabhupada said, why should you be a Kripana? Then immediately the ego awakened in Randy. He's calling me a miser? What kind of miser am I? Why am I a miser? Then he thought about his parents. My parents are millionaires and they have already made a plan what to do with all that money for their own enjoyment. And I think this Swamiji probably is saying that I am a wealthy man and not giving a single penny in charity. Keeping everything to myself. And then Prabhupada continued to speak. Prabhupada explained about the meaning of a Kripana, elaborated. And then Prabhupada told him, just see, you have the wealth, you are handsome, you have education, you have opulences, all these things you have. But if you take these things and use it for your own sense gratification, you will ruin your life. So why don't you engage in Krishna's service? Why don't you become a Krishna's devotee? Prabhupada asked him. And then Prabhupada started explaining what is devotional service. How one can avoid being a Kripana and become a devotee. But still, it was lingering in Randy's mind that the Swamiji called me a miser. So that was hurting his ego. And he was thinking of what counter argument can I give for this. So he was thinking for a while. And then he thought, if the Swamiji is really a very great personality, he should be able to predict the future. He should be able to give prophecy about the future. Let me see how much he knows of the future. Let me challenge him with some question. He was thinking in his mind. Just at that moment, Prabhupada called one devotee and said, go and bring the 12th canto of Bhagavatam. The devotee brought the 12th canto of Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada opened and read. Because Randy was a young boy with a long hair, Prabhupada read, it is predicted here in Bhagavatam that in Kali Yuga, Lavanyam Kesha Dharanam. People in Kali Yuga will have long hair. They will grow long hair. Just see. These are the Kripanas of Kali Yuga. They are so miserly, they don't utilize their human body to become Krishna conscious. And Randy felt, now I am defeated now, I am finished. Later on, this Randy became a very great devotee called as Mahabuddhi Prabhu. Some of you may be knowing him, Mahabuddhi Prabhu. He has his own university when he offers courses on Bhakti Shastri and many other courses he offers. He is a disciple of Prabhupada. So, in this way, you see Prabhupada's strong preaching of how Prabhupada Prabhupada sometimes used to wake up people from their slumber. I had read a similar conversation of Prabhupada with one devotee, Ishwar Chandra. Prabhupada was very strong with them. So, this person was into business and he would try his business but business would collapse. Then he tried second business, third business, many businesses he tried. And Prabhupada has been telling him that, you know, you and your wife, you can devote your life fully, dedicate yourself for preaching Krishna consciousness. And many years passed by, but this person was struggling in business, struggling and several times taking more and more loans. And one time he came to meet Prabhupada to tell Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, all these years I have been defeated in my business and I have taken so much of huge loans. Now I don't know what to do in my life. I'm bewildered now. I'm barely able to repay my loans. And Prabhupada very strongly chastised him. He said, so that Prabhupada quotes this. Tripyant neha kripana bahudukka baja kanduti van manasijam vishaketa dhiraha. He had come with four sons and Prabhupada was saying, just see, you have children, and you have business, and you are struggling with all these things, but you are not ready to give some time to Krishna. You all the time you want to be submerged in your material struggle. Prabhupada was very strongly preaching to him. So here also we find Vidura strongly preaching. Why? If we don't wake up the sleeping people, then even our telling of nice pastimes, that also they will be seeing it as a part of their dream. Like for example, if you talk about Krishna and the gopis to a materialist, then materialist thinks, oh, this is wonderful. Because he thinks, I am Krishna and all the girls of this world are gopis. I can enjoy with them, just like the boys and girls, they do dandiyaras. When they hear Krishna Leela, what they think? They think it's enjoyable from a material point of view. They see that because they are in a dream. We have to give them a slap. How? Not a physical slap. We have to make them understand, wake up to the reality. That's why Prabhupada used to argue with people and preach very strongly. Here, see what Vidura is saying. Despite your unwillingness to die and your desire to live, even at the cost of honor and prestige, your miserly body will certainly dwindle and deteriorate like an old garment. He's saying here. Then one sentence Prabhupada writes here in the purport here. Since death is inevitable, why should he accept such a humiliating position for a living? It is better to take the right path, even at the risk of death. You see, people in this world have this man saman, you know. They have the respect. Sometimes, you know, some relative, distant relative is not respecting them properly. Say they didn't give them invitation for a marriage. Do you think people will go? If they forgot to give invitation? These are all serious prestige issues in families. They have given all the relatives marriage invitation, they didn't give us, so we will not go. They will not go. Because, you know, they will not go to a house where they are unwanted. They will never go as an unwanted guest. Similarly, you all may have experience. Sometimes even if you go to a relative's house, your parents may tell you, don't stay there for too long. Because, you know, fish and guests stink after 3 days, you know. You know, they say like that, no? So don't go for too long because then they are not very close relatives to us. But when you go to your grandfather's house, you may stay 2 months in vacation, you know. Which is like your own house only, you know. But in certain places you will not go. So in this world, even hardcore karmi, materialistic people have certain etiquettes. What are their etiquettes? That if you are not wanted, you should not stay in that place. One moment longer you should not stay. You should quit that place. Like when Vidura was considered to be an unwanted person by Duryodhana, immediately Vidura left that place. He went to the holy places, he took sannyas. He left the home. He didn't stay there. No gentlemanly person will want to stay at a place where one is not wanted. But here, using that material etiquette, Vidura is trying to impress upon Dhritarashtra that already you have been the cause of the, Pandava children's torture and everything. Now all your children are finished. Even you would have been killed. But out of some respect for you, for your age and everything, Pandavas have kept you, and you are staying at their house, even at the cost of your honor and prestige, it is likely that the world is talking ill of you. People are saying, he is a failure in life. All his 100 sons have died in the battle. Now there is no one to protect him. Now he is living at the house of his enemy. Pandavas were considered enemies by the Duryodhana and company. Now he is living at the house of enemy and eating from the hands of enemy. People will talk ill of you like that. Suddenly these things will pinch a materialistic person. When you talk, just like Prabhupada spoke to Randy, in the same way, when you talk to a materialist about this kind of things, it will really hurt. Sometimes when devotees go to make life members, they go and tell, your brother has become a life member. They will say, oh, really? No. How much he paid? No. 14,000. I will become double life member. No. Me and my wife, I will become two life members. Don't think only my brother can do, I can also do. I am better than my brother. You know? Sometimes materialist people have their material ego. Like this. So Vidura here is using all possible techniques. Different techniques to inspire Dhritarashtra. He's telling Dhritarashtra. How can somebody live at the cost of one's honor and prestige? Are you not ashamed? Subsequently after two purports you will read. Prabhupada is talking about three types of people. One is a dhira, one is a frustrated sannyasi, and one is a bhakta. So, a frustrated sannyasi is one who out of material frustration has left home. So, probably he had a fight with his wife and then he takes sannyas. Or probably his son didn't obey him. He wanted to go in his way, whatever he wanted. So, he took sannyas. Or he lost everything in life and he has nowhere to go. Now, he wants some food and clothing and shelter. He joins some dharmashala and he lives like a parasite there. So he's a frustrated sannyasi. But a dhira is one who doesn't leave the world because of frustration, but who has controlled his mind and senses, and is a sober person. He is superior to a sannyasi. But who, want of understanding of spiritual life, he's a liberated person, he wants advanced spiritual life, he takes dhira. He becomes dhira. Then a bhakta is one who out of love for Krishna, he relinquishes the world. Simply love and serve Krishna. It's a dhira. So here you will find Dhritarashtra is going to follow this path. First he will be like a frustrated sannyasi now. Now his ego is hurt terribly. He is saying, I am eating from the hands of Bhima. No, I will not eat now. Better I go to forest and eat the fruits and berries and drink the water of the river and lie down under the trees or in the gufas. But I will lay down my life, but not eat from the hands of Bhima. That type of determination Dhritarashtra will get now and subsequently. I don't want to lose my honor and prestige. Let me leave my body gloriously. It is also said in the subsequent verses you will find a person who quits his home in his old age and he leaves his body even unknown to his relatives and friends in some faraway place, simply absorbing himself in the remembrance of the Lord and absorbing himself in spiritual consciousness. Such a person is considered glorious. His life is considered glorious. So one should not be staying at home till 85, 90, 95. Sometimes you find a person is bedridden, passing stool and urine in the bed. Relatives and friends are counting the years. How long is he going to live? Now 10 years he is bedridden and we have put so many servants and so much care and so much of attention he needs. Sometimes a person, sometimes family members even put a cot outside the house and put him lying outside like a household dog. They feed him food and water. And he continues to live, hoping that, they will not throw me away. Very, very horrible life. One should never want to live such a life in a home. Sometimes a parent, sometimes you find, they go from one son's house to another son's house. 3 months in one house, next 3 months in second house, they travel like a tirthyatra between families of one son to another son, one daughter to another daughter. Because nobody wants to give them permanently. Because when you get older and older, sometimes small things disturb your mind when you get older. Because body doesn't cooperate, mind doesn't cooperate. Then you pick up quarrel with daughter-in-law, or you pick up quarrel with sons. So people sometimes keep moving from place to place. Why they keep moving? Because nobody wants them permanently. Our sons sometimes say, my dear parents, we have made expert arrangement so that you can, you know, you will be able to see all of us and be happy, you know. You will not feel separation from us, so we will keep sending you from one house to another house every 3 months. So that all your children you will be able to see. Some kind of compensation you have to say, you know. So, in this way, one should not live at home, one should rather. Such parents who are materialistic parents, they are never respected by their children. But if parents are Vaishnava parents, they will be like a ripe fruit, most wanted by children. Like ideally speaking, in Vedic life, Panchashuvardham Manam Vrijayate. After 50, one takes Vanaprastha. Husband and wife, they go. A few years, they are in Vanaprastha, 10 or 20 years. And then after that, husband and wife, because they jointly practice spiritual life, they become very strong in Krishna consciousness. And then the husband may take sannyas. And the wife returns home with great wisdom that she acquired from her husband's association, performing spirituality. She has performed strict vows, tapasya, penances and everything. Now she is coming back like a great ascetic to the home to be with the son and daughter-in-law. And then she can give lot of wisdom to her grandchildren, to her sons and daughters also in their old age. And the husband goes for sannyas, for the paropakar, for doing welfare work for all the people of the world. This is the ideal. Husband also is doing the world. Ideal standard of life. So here he is saying, since death is inevitable, why should we accept such a humiliating position for living? It is better to take the right path even at the risk of death, he is saying. So what Prabhupada is saying here is example like Dadichi Rishi. Dadichi was ready to give his life. Even he was ready to lay down his life for what? For performing the glorious act of pleasing Lord Vishnu. Vishnu had wanted Dadichi to give his bones for the demigods. And you can't give your inside of your body bones without dying. So Dadichi agreed to die. That's what the meaning of the sentence. It is better to take the right path, even at the risk of death. Same with Shibhi Chakravarti also. He cut off his flesh from his own body more and more, to such an extent that at one point of time he might even die. So much flesh he took out of his body and was offering in the pan in order to keep his word, to be true to his word, for the sake of sticking to his word, as well as for benefiting his citizens. Because the dove was his citizen and eagle was his citizen. And both of them wanted the shelter of the king. And the king couldn't say no. And in order to keep the duty of the king intact, he was ready to lay down his life. So he's saying, it is better to take the right path, even at the risk of death. Because if somebody gives his life for keeping truthfulness or for Krishna's sake, Krishna's pleasure, then their names will be ever written in golden letters for all time to come. They will never be forgotten. So in this connection, we can see that there are different platforms of offering oneself. For example, there are some people who sacrifice their energy, sacrifice their time, sacrifice their good health only for the sake of gratifying their senses. You ask some people, money, 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 money is honey. Like Prahlad Maharaj gives us three examples. People sometimes cross the oceans to do some business and come. In the course of going there, there's a risk. Like some people want to go to America and earn money and come. But there is a big risk because it's a 24 hours journey in a flight. Correct? When you are going, imagine when you are going over the Atlantic or any other oceans. Imagine something happens to the plane. One may come right down into the ocean. That's why they give all this in the instructions in the beginning when you are boarding a plane. Don't think that, you know, I will come down in the water and I can have nice swimming. There are sharks and pimingalas and dangerous aquatic creatures waiting. If somebody can fall from the aeroplane, we can eat them. So, but still people take the risk to go abroad and earn a lot of money and come. Similarly, he says the soldiers who join the army, they get a lot of money. So they also join the army. When you are in battalion eating nice food, relaxing, you have a lot of ample of time. But then when war comes, India-Pakistan war, then there is a risk of life. They take life risk, isn't it? Similarly, there are also thieves who climb up tall walls. Like you see, Aravada jail, they are going on increasing the height of the jail. I used to wonder, how can people jump such heights? Huh? Every year you find they are increasing 2 feet. Huh? They are increasing the height because people try to jump off the wall. Huh? Sometimes people jump into such tall houses. Huh? Sometimes there are glass pieces put up there. They tear their leg. It's bleeding. Still they jump in. There is a beware of dogs. Dogs may bite them. Huh? Sometimes they take a silent laser jet, laser gun. They shoot the dog. Huh? They cut the grills. Huh? And they enter into the house. And then they hear a loud burglar alarm shouting, making sound. And immediately they are caught red-handed, or they are shot, or they are beaten up, or they are arrested by the police. Still at such risk, still there are thieves who will continue stealing. And so Prahlad Maharaj gives us 3 examples. A thief, a merchant who crosses the oceans, and soldiers. He gives these examples. So people are risking their life for their own sense gratification. Kripanaha. They are also kripanas. And there are people who say that actually I don't want to, risk my life for myself, but for my family and children. They are doing that. There are some people who do that. And there are some people who take risks for performing social service or for protecting the nation, like the social welfare workers and freedom struggle fighters, freedom fighters. There are people like that. So, if one goes higher and higher, people sacrificing, if you see, the real Brahmana is one who acts on the platform of soul. He knows that the body is simply like, as he says here, it's like an old garment. It will fall away. One has to understand, I am not the body, I am the soul. And I have to revive my connection to Krishna. Turnam jate tanapate tanubrityu yavan. Before this body drops dead on the ground, I have to awaken my Krishna consciousness. Then I am saved. The same is said about Parikshit Maharaj also. Before Parikshit Maharaj was bitten by that Takshaka serpent, and the body dropped dead on the ground, he had already awakened his Krishna consciousness. So already saved. That is considered the greatest success in life for an individual. So why? This body is simply a equipment or instrument given to us. It will remain with us for some time. It will be taken away at any point of time. Just like, like in foreign countries, they have this car which they give on lease. Like company is there all over India. They are in Bombay, they are in Pune, they are everywhere. But the Pune company tells you that 3 days this car will be with you. And within 3 days you can go to Bombay and come if you want. Or you can go to Bombay and leave the car in Bombay. But if you don't use it for 3 days, that's all, your lease is finished. So the body is given on lease to us. Take it, the nature is giving you. Take this human body. And we are offering you a human tongue where you can chant the holy names. And we are offering you the human body where you have the spiritual acumen. You can study the scriptures and awaken yourself. You can wake up from the slumber. And by such awakening, you can achieve success. But then we become lazy. That is one aspect of Kripana also, which I didn't talk much today. I only spoke more about Kripana being active in the wrong direction. We can also talk about Kripanas who are lazy. Like in, you read this section of Jadabharata explaining to Rahuguna, for the material enjoyment. And there he explains, a person who sleeps more than required is like a, the sleep is like a python, he says. A sleep is like a python which devours a person. Similarly, the person who just sleeps off completely in deep ignorance about the world, about the goal of life, he is also condemned. He is also a kripana, one who is simply lazy. Lazy in a cozy bungalow. Living in a very cozy bungalow with comforts and luxuries is completely lazy. Like, one rich boy came to me. So he was telling me he doesn't know what to do in life. I asked him, why don't you come to temple? Or why don't you do this? He said, no, Prabhuji, my father has told me to do some business. But, my father has accumulated for next 4 generations, I have so much crores of rupees, So I don't have to do any business at all. So I said, if you don't have to do any business, then why don't you come to temple? Then he said, yes, Prabhuji, I understand the philosophy and everything. Sirf lagan nahi hai, man lagta nahi hai. I don't have, mind is not ready to, engage itself in Krishna consciousness. That's my problem. This is a practical example of a lazy bum, huh? Lazy fellow who doesn't want, he's a lazy kripana, huh? Who doesn't want to, he doesn't want to practice spiritual life, he doesn't want to be mentally active also, which means idle man's brain is a devil's workshop. Now he is going to indulge in sinful activities. That is how you find the rich kids, you know, they board a big car and they go to the hotels in the night, sometimes they eat in the night, sometimes they eat out, sometimes they drink, sometimes they smoke, and simply enjoying father's money, like Nalakur Manigrave. They are also rich kids, enjoying their father's money, enjoying with women. So they are also kripanas, misusing the human form of life, and the nature will curse them to become trees, or become animals, and such kind of things. So here, he is saying, just like Chanakya said, Satnimitte varam tyago vinashe neyate sridi. This body is going to be destroyed one day. Better that we give it for Krishna. Either you give the body for army, you die in the battle, or you give this body to Dawud Abraham and become a gunda, or you give this body to for the service of mother and father or family and friends and relatives. You can give this body for their sake. Or you can give this body to some boss working in a company 30-40 years. You salute and work simply for earning money, saluting a boss all life. Can give this body. Kripana Durajana. Before I say, you know, Kripana Durajana. You can give for any of these things. Or you can give this body for Krishna service. So every day when we put our tilak all over our body, we are actually offering our body to Krishna and Guru. We are telling Guru that this body is your property. Manasa deha geho jokichimur arpila tuvapade and the kishore. One should actually offer one's body for spiritual, for elevation in spiritual consciousness. There can't be a better way this body can be utilized. This body, mind and words and energy and time and one's very life itself cannot be utilized for anything in a better way. Because all the material progress will come to a naught at the time of death. Everything will become a zero. All heroes become zeros at the time of death. But the elevation in spiritual consciousness is the only progress that one can make in life. If we have improved the quality of consciousness even a bit in this life, we have made a great progress. That is why Bhagavatam says one moment of transcendental thought is far superior to earning millions of dollars in this world. It is better to take the right path even at the risk of death. So, in this way, by Vidura's instruction, Dhritarashtra is getting awakened. So, we can learn two lessons in our life, that we also can come out of our laziness, a cozy state, and also come out of our being active for material fruits, material results, but utilize our energy in becoming more Krishna conscious. And besides that, we can also learn another lesson. We should preach strongly like Vidura preached to Dhritarashtra and wake up the sleeping souls. Prabhupada wanted that very much. And Prabhupada himself did that by going to nook and corner. Because if we simply pamper the minds of the materialistic people, they will remain submerged in their slumber in material absorption. They have to be woken up. They have to be brought out. And Prabhupada made many, many devotees like that. He woke them up. Of course, we have to wake up ourselves before we wake up others. Otherwise, we can't wake up others. First, we have to wake up ourselves completely. Yes. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki.